Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before we look into the sacred scriptures, shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, how wonderful it is that thy children can come here once again to have fellowship around thy word. Truly, O Lord, this is the word of everlasting life that you have given for our learning and for our profit. And so as we look into thy sacred pages, we ask that thy Holy Spirit will indeed come and teach us thy marvelous truths from out of thy word, and that truly we will hide thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. So hear our humble cry as we commit these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today our passage for consideration is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. The parable of the house that is built on rock. And of course we have another house down here that is built without a foundation. Now this particular parable is found in Luke chapter 6. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 6 and if you examine the first few verses, especially from verse 17 to verse 19, you will realize that this sermon was preached to many people from far and wide. It was preached on a plane. Now, some would say that this sermon is the same sermon as that of the Sermon on the Mount because of the contents that follow later. Or some would say that it is a different sermon but similar content preached at a different location. Well, whether it is the same sermon or a different sermon, well, we know that these two sermons, their content are roughly the same. They are preached at roughly the same location at Galilee. And while Jesus preached this message, take note that there were many that came to hear. For the scriptures tells us that not only were there the company of his disciples, but there were also a great multitude, many who came from far and wide, who came from Judea and Jerusalem, and not just from Judea and Jerusalem, but also from the Gentile regions of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And so many were there, gathered to hear this sermon. And Jesus was the master teacher. When he preached this sermon, there were many who gathered there who wondered with amazement, what great teaching. He is one who teach with great authority, not like the other scribes and Pharisees. They marveled at the words that they hear. But the key question is this, and it is found exactly in verse 46 of this particular text. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And here the word Lord, Lord comes from the Greek kurios, can mean master or rabbi. And indeed, many of them thought of Jesus as a very great master or rabbi. A sage of great learning. And they wanted to hear what he was speaking and what he was teaching. And so there they were, gathered at the plain, hearing his words. Well, just like a massive rally. So all gathered there, and they hear. Wow, what wonderful words. But if you gather at a rally, you gather at a lecture, that is held by some great teacher. And in the end, whatever is taught, you do not meditate upon it, you do not understand it, and then you do not put it into practice. What is the use? Well, you may spend a few hundreds of dollars going to attend a course, and then you attend the course, and in the end, you do not put anything that you have learned in the course into practice. Then you have wasted all your money, isn't it? It is in vain. That is exactly the point of this parable. In some sense, this is a rather special parable, because mostly when you study the parables, and we know that parables are extended similes used to illustrate spiritual truths, and then when you study the parables, usually right, the main point is found at the end of the parable. But in this particular case, the thrust of the parable is found in verse 46. You call me Lord, Lord, you call me teacher, and yet you come, you hear, and then whatsoever that you have heard from me goes one year in and the other year out, and then it's not reflected in your life. Then in that case, if you gather here and hear what I say, it is a waste of time. And sadly, well, that is the case of many who come to hear the teachings of Christ. And in today's context, there can also be many who come and hear sermons. They may be present in churches every Sunday. They may attend the fellowship groups. They may attend the Bible studies. And then they may even go to the pastor or the preacher and have to say, wow, what a wonderful sermon. And in the end, they may also fall into this category, because though they may hear faithful words, well, yet in their lives, it is not reflected in faithful obedience. That is the key. For if you examine what you read in verses 20 to 45, you will see that what Jesus Christ is really speaking about is the character of a Christian, isn't it? The character of the Christian is summarized in the Beatitudes, right? Here it says, blessed are be poor. And then if you compare the similar sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, you will realize that this poor, of course, is, we are not talking about a person who is poor in terms of finances, but is poor in spirit. And then after that, blessed are ye that hunger, right? And this hunger is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yeah, so it's really talking about the character of a Christian. Now, if you say that you are a Christian, well, these Beatitudes describe you. And then after that, he shows what true religion is. Right? The rest of the verses, from verses 27 to 45, is really an exposition on the Beatitudes. If you say you're a Christian, this should be shown in your life. And if you see in the book of Matthew, this was clearly contrasted with the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, they think that they are very righteous, isn't it? And that they can go to heaven, and then you people look up to them. But what exactly is true righteousness? Who exactly are the people that can get into heaven? What would their lives be like? That is what the Sermon on the Mount, what the Sermon of the Mount is all about, and what this sermon that we have here in Luke chapter 6 is all about. And so, examine your life. Does your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and of the scribes? Well, you know that this righteousness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ pointing to himself, if you are truly a follower of me, then this should be seen in your life. Because I am your master, I am your God, I am your savior, I am also your teacher. And then you call me your teacher, and yet in your life, this is not sin. It does not make any sense. It is not logical. It is not reasonable. And so what this parable is talking about is, well, if you call yourself a Christian, then your life must be characterized by obedience to the Word of God, obedience to the teachings of Christ. In this particular context, obedience to what Christ has just preached in this sermon on the plain, on this sermon on the mount. And so to illustrate this point, to press on this point, he used the illustration of a house that is built on very strong foundation. Right? So whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, well, not enough, you come to me, yes, you hear my sayings. But what type of hearing is this? Is it the right type of hearing? Is it a hearing that will, in the end, result in obedience, that results in you obeying my word? Then that will be the right type of hearing. So whosoever cometh to me, if his hearing is the right type of hearing, you will see that he will do the word of God. He will practice my sayings, right? That is the word doeth down here. And here the word doeth has the understanding of not just do in one point of time, but you will see that, you know, this obedience is one that is seen throughout his life. You know, he has this, he or she has this desire to want to follow God. Well, it doesn't mean that in he or she in her life may be sinlessly perfect. And yes, sometimes due to our struggles, due to the weakness of our flesh, we sometimes sin against God. But you know, as he or she progresses in her walk with God, you will see that, you know, there is this desire to be blameless before God and to mature in the faith, to want to be Christ-like in his conduct. So this will be the person that Christ is talking about. So how does Christ describe him? Well, I will show you, I will explain to you, I will illustrate to you exactly how he is like. Okay, what illustration? Well, verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep. So not just build a house, okay? But when a man builds a house, well, this man is a diligent man. He's a wise man. Well, if you look at Sermon on the Mount, the word used is wise. And why wise? He makes sure that the house must first start with the foundation. Right? Well, I am no architect. Well, before I studied theology, I studied physics. And when I study physics is very, you know, the type of physics I study is very mathematical and theoretical. So, I don't know so much about buildings. But some of you here are architects, some of you here are engineers. I'm sure you can appreciate the science behind this, right? The need for a good foundation for a building. But if not, you just examine how a HDB flat is built. A lot of time is spent firstly testing the ground, whether the ground is suitable to build. If not, you have to do some, if I'm not wrong, you have to do some calculations or come up with some plan how to strengthen the ground. And then a lot of time is spent piling and making sure that the foundation is secure. They will do their testing. And so if you go for BTO, sometimes you will despair because, for the first 1 year or 2 years, you see nothing but piling. And then you just imagine, my flat is some space reserved in the sky. You don't see anything. You know, they spend so much time building the foundation. Then once the foundation is settled, then once they start the building, the flat, or the, you realize that the building rises very fast, and before you know it, completed. Time to collect the keys. Well, that shows how important the foundation is. And understand that this sermon was preached near the Sea of Galilee. And so as he preached near the Sea of Galilee, the people would understand the conditions that were present at the Sea of Galilee. Now, one of the interesting things about the Sea of Galilee is that sometimes the sea may look very peaceful and very calm. Then before you know it, within an hour or so, the conditions of the sea can change, and then there can be a very great storm. And then the storm will blow, the water level of the sea will rise, and then it will flood the land. And then the winds will beat upon the buildings, and then if the buildings are not strong, they will collapse. Now, I've been to Israel. By the grace of God, I managed to be there 3 times. I love Israel very much. And then I also stayed at the Sea of Galilee 3 times. Well, I'm so thankful I did not get to see this. But I hear the story from the matron, Mrs. Stowe. Mrs. Stowe has been many, many times. And then she tells me, wow, the conditions were just changed. And there was one time where they stay in this building, and then it was very frightening. Well, I could not imagine how frightening it was. So I went to the YouTube to take a look. Well, not many videos, but I seen one where the condition just changed, and then it was very frightening. It's not just within an hour or so. Within about 20 minutes, the conditions can just worsen, and then you really feel like you are in the midst of a storm. And you want to know how it's like in the midst of a storm right now, that there are at least 2 storms that are raging. One storm, I'm not sure whether it's past, there's one storm that hit Busan, right? Hurricane, right? Hit Busan. And then another one that is now still on, I believe, is Hurricane Matthew, right? Hitting the coast of Florida, and I think maybe going up towards Georgia and South Carolina. And some people, they are not scared, they don't want to run. And so the news have to tell them, look, don't underestimate this hurricane. Why? Because the danger is not so much just the winds, but the combination of the winds and the rains forcing the waters of the sea to go over the banks and then to flood the land, and it becomes just like a tsunami. That is what they call a storm surge. And then if you look at if you go to Twitter or YouTube and then you click Busan, recently you will see how a storm surge works. You just blow and then the water just flows, and then the cars will just be drowned and washed away by the waters. And so that will be exactly the kind of conditions in which the buildings near the Sea of Galilee will be subjected to. And if they are not built upon firm foundations, and then the flood arose, there will be this storm surge, right? And I believe what is written down here will be this storm surge, right? Because what is written here, the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently. Right, upon the house, right? This flood, this stream has this understanding of waters that arose from a water body. Last time when I read, I could not understand. Now, recently when I see these events, I think I understand better. This storm surge that arose and then it will hit upon the building. And that is where you know whether or not the building is built upon a strong foundation. That is exactly what they were saying in Florida. Some people were tweeting, oh, now this is the best test of the building codes. Right, best test of building codes, right? Everybody claimed that their house is hurricane-proof. How do you know whether a house is hurricane proof when there's no hurricane? Right, the only way you know whether a house is hurricane proof is when the hurricane comes. And so they say, well, now my house will be put to the test. Well, these people say they passed the building codes. Well, let's see. And I think by now some of them, they know the answer. Seems like although there's damage done, most of the houses in Florida passed the test. Most of them only the certain structures, you know, maybe the roof or what fell down, but most of the houses remain intact. So, well, seems like the people there are still quite honest with their building codes. If they are not, the houses are not firm, well, this winds about 120 miles per hour, they blow, and then there's this storm surge. Well, finish. Gone. They go back. Oh, where's my house? Oh, I see this stump. This stump is my house. Okay, time to rebuild. So this is the test. The test comes. The storm. And the first house built upon this foundation, the stream came in, there's this storm surge, and then there is this wind. It could not all these winds and the waters, they could not shake the house. It did not fall. Why? Because of its foundation. It was founded upon a rock, a strong rock. But on the other hand, there is this other foolish man. Right, based upon the Sermon on the Mount, we know this man is also called foolish. And why is he foolish? Because he is one that hears and does not do God's word. He's a foolish man. And he's likened to this person who, instead not knowing the kind of conditions that will be like at the Sea of Galilee, still chooses to build his house upon a shaky foundation. And in this case, like here in Luke chapter 6, it's recorded as without a foundation. Well, so it must be a foundation that is so shaky that it's not even worthy to be called a foundation. You just build the house there, you build the house on sand. What happens? Well, when the stream comes, you know that it's not going to last. And not only is it not going to last, once the wind blows and the stream comes in, well, straight away you know the result. It will fall immediately. And because the problem lies in the foundation, right, not just because of some cosmetic structural effects, but because it lies in the foundation, you can be sure that the ruin of the house is great. It's a total destruction because it breaks right from the foundation. All that will be left will be rubble. So how foolish for a man to build such a house, right, knowing that the conditions of the Sea of Galilee will be like this. It will not last. And yet there are people that are like this. Well, there were people that come from far and wide in this particular parable. They came from around the region of Galilee. They came from Judea. They came from Jerusalem. They came even from Tyre and Sidon. Many were gathered to hear mass rally, mass sermon. How many of them were like in verse 49? Well, sadly, well, based upon what we see in the Gospels, well, many were like verse 49. They came, they only hear the sermon to let their ears be tickled. But when it comes to the practice of God's word, well, it cannot be seen. Why? Well, because they hear God's word, just because, you know, it's like some moral pep talk, their roots are not dug deep into God's word. You know, not dug deep into the written word, which is, of course, the word which reveals the living word. And so, therefore, because their foundation is not deep, right, this, not deep in the rock of Christ, not deep in the rock, which is the Word of God, And so therefore, when put to the test, there will be certain events in life that will come and test. Is your faith true? Are you truly a Christian? And then when all these tests comes into your life, and then when the right kind of test comes, test straight away, boom, they fall. Why? Because in the first place, no root, no ground, no foundation. And then they are revealed. Then isn't it very foolish? Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes the worry that we may have is that there may be people who come to churches and hear God's word, and sometimes they may even appear to be like a Christian. They know to say the right things, they know to say the right answers. But actually, they have never fully trusted in God's word before. And because they have never fully trusted in God's word before, they have not accepted the Lord as their Savior. And so, therefore, no foundation. And so, yes, they may be in church 10, 20. And then suddenly, after 30 or 40 years, they are no longer found in church. Why? Oh, I have never really believed in the first place. Sometimes it can occur with young people, young children. Some of you down here, you may have children of your own. Or when they grow up, well, don't be impressed. No, when they can just recite verses or give answers to certain questions. And sometimes we pride our children, or that they may be able to answer certain questions like, "Oh, what is God?" Right. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. It is being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Wow, perfect answers. My kid, very smart. Wow, very proud of the kid. And then we think that, oh, just because the kid can recite certain verses means that, well, he is a wise man. Wow, don't just be satisfied because they can answer, or because they can use Christian jargon. Pray with the fear of God in our hearts that they don't just know how to answer, but it is truly experiential knowledge. It is knowledge that is founded upon the word of God. Very important. And so, it is for us also, isn't it? I don't think it's just for children, but also for grown-ups. We need to ask ourselves, really, is our faith true or not? And if this faith is true, then it will be reflected in the life whereby God's word is practiced. And so, there was a case of a young man. This young man, he grew up, and then once he reached 12 years old, because all the friends reaffirmed their faith or decided to go through the waters of baptism. So, well, like any young man, he wants to, he wants to be baptized, and so he went through the waters of baptism, and then he grew up, still a young man, and then after that he did something that was in which it requires him to be disciplined and suspended from membership. So this was a young man required to be suspended from membership, and so he could not, and so he was not allowed to take the Lord's Supper, and then he was asked to write his testimony of salvation for examination. And so he wrote his testimony of salvation. He wrote one testimony of salvation when when he went through the waters of baptism. He wrote one testimony. Well, looks very good. Looks like perfectly sound testimony of salvation. Well, praise the Lord. Well, this guy is a believer. And then after he committed the sin of which until today he has not repented, and then he submitted his testimony of salvation, it's totally different. Maybe I'm safe. Maybe I'm not safe. I feel like I'm safe. I feel like as though there's something, somebody talking to me when I read God's word and whatever. In the end, maybe I'm not safe. Wow, what a shock. And then, when asked to keep on coming to listen to God's word, and then to put certain things into practice, in accordance to the sin which he has done, to follow and to obey God's word, did not follow. And then now is the young man struggling to attend attend church. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not there. And then when asked to go to church, the mother passed him the church weekly. No, you must go to church. Well, since you do not go to church this Sunday, well, read the church weekly. Took the church weekly and tore the church weekly. And yet, just a few years ago, wow, what wonderful testimony was written. Put to the test. Failed. No route. Salvation, really, one big question mark. And then for us, it may be the same also. Put through the test. Some may be the cares of life, or family life. Or the Lord may sometimes allow certain testings to come into our life. And there may be certain temptations that we faced. And then when put to the test, this person cannot pass, and then now is no longer in church. Very sad. On the other hand, how wonderful when we hear accounts of people. Yes, they may be struggling in their walk with God. But then, by and by, as they struggle in their walk, they realize, I shouldn't be living my life that way. No, I am a child of God. I really desire to obey God's word. So, Lord, will you not help me to live a life of holiness? Help me to grow in God's word. Yes, how are you able to do the things for Christ if you do not know God's word, right? And so, if a person really does not want to hear God's word, does not even want to learn God's word, well, really also question mark. But, here we are not just talking about a person who wants to hear and study God's word. Well, this is a good first step. All of us are gathered here to hear. But in his heart, slowly, he wants, please, help me. Help me to grow in God's word and then to obey and then to follow and then to do what is right in the statutes, and then by and by slowly he grows and then he matures. That is the person that is categorized under the verse 48, the wise one. Again, another illustration, another example. Two brothers. Okay, both grew up in the same church. Well, one was an intelligent man. Went to university. The other one, based upon the world standard, you will probably say that he is not somebody which you will call very outstanding academically. This one was is the elder brother, so well he is already working. But they are one very intelligent, scholar quality. Both grew up in the same church, both initially professed faith in Christ. So both grew up. The elder brother initially was struggling in his faith. The first one seems like, you know, everything okay because very intelligent, able to answer all kinds of questions and answers correctly. The other one struggled in his spiritual walk for a period of time due to certain spiritual struggles, was not found in fellowship. But then soon testings came into life. You know, this young man went to another phase of life. And then suddenly one day, they contacted the church leaders. Hello? I am doubting my faith. And in fact, this was something that was not very surprising because slowly, bit by bit, we can see that, you know, when it comes to obedience of God's word, you know, he was struggling to obey. And then when it comes to certain passages of scriptures, sometimes he questioned. Suddenly called, hey, I want to speak to you. And then so he went to talk with a church leader. Went to talk with this church leader and then declare, I have doubts of God's word. Wow, very frightening. Because there are a lot of things I cannot reconcile in God's word. And then, after a few weeks later, told his brother, I do not believe. And then, this brother, who's all along struggling spiritually. Now he's married. Well, he was so upset, you know. Yeah, although he struggled, but he in his heart he really wants to love and obey the Lord. So he's so upset, you know, trying to help this brother, but to no avail. Until today, he's still praying for him. But what happened to this elder brother? Well, when put to the test, a lot of struggles in life. Now, newly married, have to contend with all the various challenges of married life. Well, you would think that with the challenges of married life, you know, I mean, this is the adults fellowship group. Some here, of course, are single, but some of you here are married. I think when you get married, many more issues to handle, isn't it? And then when children come first. So you expect that, well, this married couple now with all these marital challenges, well, he will probably struggle and stop attending fellowship group. But no, he grew stronger. He started becoming regular in fellowship group attendance. And then, in terms of his service, he was faithful. In terms of obedience of God's word, you can see in him. And slowly he's growing and maturing. So who is the wise one? Who is the wise one? Well, both gathered, both attended the same church, both sat there Sunday after Sunday, both attended Bible study. In fact, one attended more than the other. But in the end, one says, I don't want to do God's word. And in the end, finally, even denied that he believed. And then the other one, slowly as he grows, now says, I want to do God's word. I want to follow him. I want to grow. That one is wise. Yes, initially he struggled. Yes. But now he's growing. And then with the, even though the storms of life have now increased, now his life is not easy, but endures. Strong root. Firmly grounded. Once put to the test, many stresses of life, and then he start learning philosophy, fell. And once he fell, well, great was the ruin. Really. Okay, straight away. Poop. Very fast, within a few weeks, gone. But the other one, firm. Still strong, still abiding. And not only that, but also growing. How wonderful. And so we must ask ourselves this question today as we look at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Which one are we? Which category do we belong? Now, do we belong to verse 48, the wise one, or do we belong to the foolish one? Which foundation, the one on the rock or the one on the sand? And the test really is obedience. Are we obeying God's word? Is your life characterized by obedience? And then when the storms of life come and they put to the test, will you follow the ones that follow? Consistently put the test and follow? Good, that's what it means to... That's what a Christian should be like. That's what characterizes a Christian. But, you know, when put to the test, and then in the end, no obedience, no fruit, and then continue sin against God, and not only that, there's no fruit of repentance, then verse 49. And so our prayer for everyone down here, don't just come here and hear the sermons and then end up like verse 49, but we pray everyone down here in the adult fellowship, and we want to believe it's like verse 48, your foundation is built on a strong rock. And so examine our lives, make sure my faith is true and genuine. It is a obedient faith. And I know, Lord, that you will keep me all the way to the very end. May God help us. All right, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, what a pointed reminder we have in thy holy word, that a child of God should be characterized by obedience. And so, Lord, we pray that truly our lives will be firmly grounded upon thy sayings, upon thy word, and help us not to deceive ourselves, that we will not just be hearers of thy word, but doers also. For we know that those with living faith will follow thy teachings. And so help us, Lord. We want to love thee. And so help us to love thee wholeheartedly, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Hear our humble cry as we commit these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.